Thank you. It is, wow, it is a privilege to be here. You know, 8 years flew by really fast. I can't hardly believe that there were a couple of babies when we were here as the interim, and I did not realize that there were any Philistines in this congregation. But we came back, and there's one guy that was, and now he's, whoa, what happened? I told his mama to take the fertilizer out of his shoes so he could stop growing. So, you know, I'm thrilled to be here, and I love this idea of this pulpit swap that Pastor Daniel, Pastor Doug, and I are joining in on. And so, you know, I am unique. And if you go to the dictionary and look up the meaning of unique, it means one of a kind, and that's me. I'm a one-of-a-kind, so I am a one-of-a-kind learner, and I'm a one-of-a-kind teacher, and so I have an act that I want you guys to do for me while I'm preaching, and it's okay while I'm preaching, okay? So Greg's going to help me, and what I want you to do is that I told her to hang on to that string. See, she did not listen, so now what I need you guys to do is listen. Now look, wait. Just hold that, Roger, okay? So everybody, look here. This is the most amazing nose that you'll see, and I want you to look here. Okay? So here's what I want you to do while I'm preaching, okay? And it's okay. I want you to pass that ball of string around, but do not go up and down, up and down, up and down, okay? Don't do that. Just go awkwardly. Go any which way you want. Greg is going to make sure that everybody gets to touch the string. Now, you're going to have 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's what they told me I had to preach. So that's plenty of time, okay? So just pass that string. Make sure you touch the string. You hang on to the string. Now, here's the part. Look here again at this nose. Here's what I want you to do. When you're done, just drop your string, okay? Let it go to the floor. You're going to walk out. You're going to leave. When we dismiss, just leave that string there. Greg has instructions of what he's going to do with that, and it's going to fit in. I'm going to talk to you about it in a few minutes in my message, but it's an important part, I believe, as we think of God at work in us, through us, and around us. So you're just going to pass that ball of string any which way you want. Everybody touch it. Greg will make sure you get it. Go ahead and you can get started now. And then just drop it when we leave, okay? Whew. That was a hard part, right? So, as you think of your life, you have been created with a purpose. Every one of you have been created with a purpose. You know, God formed you in your mother's womb, and He spoke potential into your being. I don't know about you, but that just kind of gives me goosebumps. It races up and down my body when I think, wow, God formed me in my mother's womb, and He spoke into me my temperament. He spoke into me my personality. He spoke into me my giftedness. And I am today who I am, because that's who God made me to be. So look at Jeremiah, the first chapter, where it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." And then look at Psalm 139. "For you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. For when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them." Everyone has potential. Everyone was born with potential. Potential is God-given. Potential is how far you can go, not alone, but with God. I think of that Gaither song, I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P, and I have potential. That's you. Because you see, God loved you, and God formed you, and God has great expectations for you. So when you develop, and when you use what He has given you, and it doesn't matter if it's big or small, it doesn't matter what you think it is, you are developing the potential that He created within you. And so throughout your life, there is potential for anything. Did you hear that? There is potential for anything. Because you see, God expects you to go beyond what is normal. God expects you to achieve the impossible. And if this is going to happen, you'll have to take some risk. You'll have to move out of your comfort zone. And you'll have to trust God to work within you. So in this Pulpit Swap series with Meridian Church of God, you guys, with Town Center Church of God, and with First Church of God in Greensburg, we're focusing on this topic, God at work. God at work in you, which is what Pastor Doug shared with you last week. God at work through you, which is what I'm sharing this week. And God at work around you, which is what Pastor Daniel will be speaking next week. So I want you to take a peek at the screen. This is what this glob is going to look like when you're all done. A glob of string. Because if you do that right, again, you're going to just leave it lay. They'll pick it up and they'll put it in a glob. And next week, that glob will be here somewhere. That's the glob from our congregation. I keep that in my office. And right next to it, I have a stuffed shepherd with his staff. Because that reminds me, that's my congregation. Because they touched that string as it passed through the sanctuary, as it touched the chairs in the sanctuary. So I want you to picture that for a moment and think how we are just sometimes a hot mess, right? You know, I do really well if you do this, yes or no or yes. So it's okay, you can do that. You can have move your head, you can talk. But you know, when you think of that, that hot mess of life, and you're in there somewhere. When your string comes together, you'll be in there. And I want you to think for a moment of the importance of God working in you and of God doing an amazing work within your being. Because He formed you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And He spoke into you who you are. And then you begin to realize, wow, God can work through me in that hot mess. God can work through me. And as God works through me, God is working around me. And it doesn't matter that I can't play the guitar. It doesn't matter that I can't play the piano. It doesn't matter that I'm illiterate when it comes to technology things. It doesn't matter that I'll never stand up here and preach or teach. But everyone has something. And so you bring who you are, and you bring what you are to the table. You know, the Bible is full of stories of people who were anointed and positioned by God to achieve great things. Think of Joshua. Think of Moses. Think of Jeremiah. Think of Solomon. Think of Paul. Think of Timothy. Think of David and Goliath. Think of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Think of that little maiden girl and Naaman. Think of Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think of that little boy with his lunch. And when we begin to think of that list, we can learn from their experiences. We can capture the fact like Joshua, We can know our purpose as we read and as we meditate on Scripture. Like Moses, our potential will take some faith. It will take faith. Like Jeremiah, God will make us uncomfortable until we step out to fulfill our purpose. Or like Solomon, our purpose will be for people and not necessarily for things. Or like Paul, our true purpose will have significance way beyond our life. Like Timothy, God has gifted us with the abilities that we need in order to live out our purpose. So your God-given possibilities match your potential. So God doesn't call you and will not call you to do something that He hasn't already given you the resources within. Because you see, God does not call you based on your ability, but based on your potential. And you, everyone, has the potential to do great things. And here's the exciting part. You don't have to prove yourself first. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. Because God has already placed that potential within you. And God is already calling you. You know, Jesus didn't know the disciples, yet He appointed them. They were not educated. They probably couldn't even read or write. But He knew each one of them had potential to succeed. Jesus did not wait for the disciples to emerge as potential leaders, because He already knew every one of them had potential. So Jesus was more interested to see if they would have the faith to follow Him. The rest was up to them. Would they activate? Would they release their potential? And we're reminded that not everyone answers the call of Jesus to follow Him. Sometimes the enemy succeeds in convincing us that we cannot do it. And when we buy into that lie, then we will not be able to do it. You see, God has created you uniquely different with all of your characteristics so that you can perform something special for His kingdom. You know what? Look at the person next to you, to your right first, and just tell them, "You are different." Now look at the person on your left and say, "And you are different." Can you celebrate that with me? Exactly. Exactly. You don't have to be like me, and thank goodness you're not. Because I'm unique. I'm one of a kind. And so are you. But my one of kindness was given to me by God. He placed that potential in me. He placed that potentiality in me. And He did the same for you. I only wish that everyone could grasp that, could grab a hold of that, is that I'm different. And I'm different with a purpose. And that's why you're different. Perhaps that's why people do not understand you. And maybe that's why they try to avoid you. Dale Carnegie wrote the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It was an overnight success, selling over 15 million copies. You see, Dale Carnegie was a master at identifying people with great potential. He was once asked by a news reporter how he managed to have 43 men who were all millionaires. And he said, "Well, it is very simple. None of them were millionaires when I hired them. All of them became millionaires while they were working for me." And so these reporters wanted to know, "Well, how did you know that they had potential to become wealthy?" He said, "You find potential the same way you find gold. Several tons of dirt must be moved in order to find 1 ounce of gold. But you do not go into the mine looking for dirt. You go into the mine looking for gold. You know what our problem is? We go into the mine looking for dirt. And if you look for dirt, there's plenty of dirt and you'll find it every time. So how about if we decide, I'm going to go into the mine looking for gold. I'm going to go into the mine looking for that potential that God has placed within me. That's how we discover potential today, is that we go looking for it. And regardless of your age, regardless of your place in life, you are in God's hands, and allow Him to work, because God is doing and God will do a great work in this world. And He'll do it through you and me. He'll do it through His collective body. Because you see, He chooses to use people of all ages to accomplish His purpose. I think of a lady named Ruth, who prayed for her husband for 40 years. You'd have to know Walt. Walt was probably the meanest and most nastiest man that I ever met. They had no children. She would want to go to church. He would throw a fit as to why she wanted to go to church. He did drive her to church. But somewhere he captured in his mind that church was only to last an hour. True story. He would pull up to the door at 11:30. And he would blow the horn of the car until Ruth came out. Then he began to evolve. He would wait until she called him and said, come get me. And then occasionally he would go to a church dinner. And then he started coming to special services. And when I became pastor, he started, not because of me, but in that course of time frame, he began to come to Sunday morning worship. 40 years. That's older than some of you. That's longer than some of you. But 40 years, Ruth prayed. I'll never forget the day. Ever. When I got to join with Ruth and lead Walt to the Lord. 40 years. Now, Ruth did other things in her life. And she served the church and served the Lord. But I believe that her major purpose was to win Walt for the Lord. And she never flinched. If she did, she never let it be known. I'm sure she had to have doubts. I'm sure she had to have moments of discouragement. But she kept at it. Less than a year after Walt accepted Jesus, God called Ruth home. I like to think that her potential had been exhausted. She had accomplished her mission. I think of a lady named Katrina. She had a twin sister named Kate. They were in their 70s, and Kate's husband died, and Kate and her family didn't go to church. And Katrina called me. I was Katrina's pastor, and she said, my brother-in-law died, and they don't have a church. Will you do the funeral? And I said, I'd be glad to. So I met with the family. Kate had 3 daughters, and I met with them. And we laid out the plan to do the funeral. There was a lady in our church that was an amazing cook. I mean, unbelievable. That was her potential. That was her giftedness. And she came up to me and she said, Pastor, if you're going to do that funeral, then we're going to provide a dinner for the family. And that was the beginning, a side note, that was the beginning. So every funeral that I did for an unchurched family, they did a funeral dinner. Well, Kate and her family came, and it was a large family. And they could not believe. Why in the world would you guys do a dinner for a family that's not even a part of your church and doesn't even care about your God? They decided that we were unique, one of a kind. And so they came on a Sunday morning to check us out. Why would these people do that? And they never left. And over a period of about 4 years, I led 5 of them to Jesus. I baptized 5 of them. I did a wedding, and I did 6 funerals. Because Dolores said, the potential I have is to cook. She had 8 children. She could cook for large crowds. And they did. All of my life, or my earlier life ministry, which has been maybe 100 years ago, I had a dream. My dream was that I wanted to be either the state pastor or the associate state pastor, any state in the Church of God. It's what I wanted to do. I was considered by Illinois and turned down because I didn't have my master's degree. I was considered by Michigan and turned down because I didn't have my master's degree. I'm a bit of a slow learner, so I went and got my master's degree. And then the day came. We were on vacation at Cedar Point. Many of you would remember Rich Shockey. He gave me a call. And he said, Terry, from a field of 20, you've made it to the top 3 to be considered for the associate state pastor position for Indiana Ministries. Would you accept? And I said, I would. It's my dream. He knew that. He said, now my policy is that I'll call you in 24 hours to see if it's still yes. We got home from our vacation. He called. It was a Wednesday night. I'll never forget. He called and I said, absolutely. Had an uneasiness in my spirit. Ruth had strep throat. Josh and Nate were little toddlers. So I went over to the church to pray. When I walked in the building, there was a lady from our congregation that was there. She was a prayer warrior. She was a prayer warrior. That was her potential. And I said, oh, Jane, hi, what are you doing here? She said, I felt an overwhelming sense that you were facing a major decision, and I was drawn here to pray for you. And she had a book. She gave it to me. It's in my briefcase. I bring it sometimes with me. It's entitled Mighty Prevailing Prayer. She had underlined, gone to the bookstore, bought me a brand new copy, underlined some passages. Here's what she handed me that night. Can God do with you whatever He likes? Can He change your plans, your goals, your ambitions? Can He veto your plans without explaining to you? Can He move you from one situation to another without your protesting? Is your will so surrendered that God can ask of you whatever He will? We will be amazed to discover how much of our prayer life is an effort to win God over, to assent to and carry out our own will rather than asking according to His will. I had my answer. I called Rich. And I said, Rich, I have to remove my name. What? That's what you always wanted to do. You've told people that. You've prepared for that. That's what you wanted to do. And I said, Rich, I don't have a peace. I have to say no. And I did. Because a lady named Jane lived out her potential to be a person of prayer, no matter the cost. Fast forward 18 months after I made that decision, through a series of outreach efforts of our congregation, neighborhood children's parties, lots of other things. Get this. 60 people made a first-time commitment to Jesus. I knew where my potential was. I knew what I wanted to do. That wasn't necessarily what God wanted me to do. So, my friends, a beautiful picture of the church is found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And I love to read it out of the Message translation. And I want you to just, you know what, just close your eyes and just think of this, this beautiful picture of the church. In light of all of this, here's what I want you to do. While I am locked up here, a prisoner for the Master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one Master, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed up the mountain, captured the enemy, and seized the plunder. He handed it all out in gifts to people. Is it not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of earth, and that the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to the highest heaven? He handed out gifts above and below. He filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we all move rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son. Fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive with Christ. You see, my friends, the reason that God has given each one of us potential is because he wants to use all of us in our own individual way to accomplish his mission. The Bible describes God as being able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he tells us that with him, absolutely nothing is impossible. But the real problem is that most of us think to tin too small. We pray too small. We believe too small. And therefore, we live too small. We believe that lie that says, God may be able to do that for somebody else, but not for me. That kind of thinking will limit what God can and will do through us. It will also keep us from realizing our full potential in life. God does not expect you to do it by yourself. He expects you to do it with a group of other believers, with him. Look at that glob of string again. That's you. That's me. That's God working in us. That's God working through us. That's God working around us. Caleb, could you put that picture of string up again? I want you to see that. That's the church. And after today, when they gather this string and put it into a glob, that will represent you. Somewhere in that mess will be you, with who God designed you to be, with what you bring to the table right now, this moment. But know that you have potential. And know that God expects you to allow Him to work through you. But in order to work through you, you have to let Him work in you. And as He works within you and through you, He'll work around you. You see, we're called to be the salt. So you know, my father-in-law would make his food white with salt. He lived to be 94, so I guess for him it was an okay thing. I avoid salt. But you know what salt does? It makes you thirsty. And do you know that God had an intended purpose in saying that we're to be the salt? So we're to live in such a way that we make other people spiritually thirsty. There's a little magnet that we got. That's the next slide. So live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Wow. That's what Jesus was talking about when he told us to be the salt. That's what he was talking about when he told us to be the reflectors of light. That's what he was talking about when he said that we'll be the magnets attracting people to him. That's what Ruth did for her 40 years of praying for her husband, Walt. She was the salt that made him eventually spiritually thirsty. She was reflectors of the light. She was the magnet. That's what Dolores did when she fixed the mock steak or the ham or the fried chicken or the green beans or the mashed potatoes to feed a multitude of people. She was being the salt that made people spiritually thirsty. And that's what God calls us to be. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. You have potential and God wants to use you and God will use you if you allow Him. We were down in Gatlinburg a couple of months ago and we found this great big wall hanging. There's a picture on the next slide. It hangs in the gathering area at our church because I love this. This is from Irma Bombeck. When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left. And I could say, I used everything you gave me. That's who Terry Canfield wants to be. When I draw my last breath, I hope that I've used everything that God has given me for His kingdom, to advance His kingdom, to help people to discover God. Because I know every time someone discovers God, their life will be changed. 1 Peter helps us to capture that, the fourth chapter, where it says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. Are you called to preach? Then preach, as though God Himself were speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies, so that God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power forever and ever and ever. Amen. My friends, God wants to work through you. And God will work through you if you'll allow Him. He has given you potential. And each one of you are unique, one of a kind, because that's how God designed it. And He began that process when you were formed in your mother's womb. He spoke into you your potential, your talent, your skill, who you will be. And now He says, trust me and live it out so that you can have an impact on the world around you. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for how you have chosen to use each one of us. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you for that honor. Thank you for that responsibility that you have entrusted your gospel, your word, your message to us, and that you have made us each one very different. so that we can play an important part in the life of your kingdom. So I pray, God, that each one of us would be faithful in what you have given us, so that when we come to the end of our life, we can be empty because we used it all for you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.